There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lillard, long distance. Got it. Damian Lillard from way downtown. Sixers have been down by double figures since late second quarter. Lillard knocks down another three. 16-point Bucks lead. Crowd's grown a little quiet as that man continues to nail three-pointers.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Scoot Henderson comes off the screen. That was a high dribble that Melton pokes free to Anderson. Back to Melton. And the seven-year vet out of Southern California drops in a couple. 97-68 count Warriors. Just feasting off of Blazer turnovers now. Putting a 35-18 beating on the Blazers here in this third.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Called too much time, too much space. Armstrong. Armstrong called. It's five! Putting on a show! A hat trick from Ryan Gold.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Welcome in on a Thursday morning.
What is happening?
Bright and early.
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll?
Ready to roll, man. I got a good night's sleep last night.
Was that collectively, probably, maybe in the running for the worst night in Portland sports history?
Got to be up there. Have we ever lost? Have two teams, I don't think it's possible to lose multiple playoff series on the same day. Like, I don't think any sports coincide playoff-wise at the same time.
That'd be Blazers and Winterhawks.
Yeah. So, I think that's probably the one of the worst night in Portland sports history.
It's the worst opening loss for the Trailblazers in their franchise history.
It's the worst one we've ever had.
Worst one.
Never had a worse one.
No, a lot of years. Not in 71. 71 was the record. We beat 1971.
Yeah. Not even 2004, 2005.
That was about as bad as it's ever been.
I saw it was also the largest margin of victory for the Warriors in an opening night game as
really?
Well.
Really? Yeah, how about that?
I did see that.
And then our Timbers.
what the hell? They were supposed
to be on the road, but we got moved here because of motocross.
What the hell happened last night?
They got at-tricked and they lost 5-0.
I saw the
5-0.
First. I was watching the first half of that game. I actually was. I was like, hey, what the hell? It's Apple TV.
I saw him down 3-0 and said, I ain't wasting my time.
It was easier to figure that out than hook up my antenna and watch the Blazer game. So I was watching a bit of that at the start of the game, and it was 3-0. And I turned that one off. And then I was watching the Blazer game, and I thought, you know what? I'm kind of tired. Maybe they're going to do me a favor in the second half. And then halfway through the third quarter, they were down by 20. And I said, all righty. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
So when did you go to bed exactly?
I went to bed.
Second quarter?
Third quarter, about 5 minutes into the third quarter. I pulled the plug. And they were down by 12 at the half, and then it quickly escalated, and I pulled the plug. I was out.
I pulled the plug with about a minute 31 left.
Made it all the way to the end. Almost.
I mean, I had gotten that far already.
Might as well finish it at that point.
I mean, I didn't finish it, but yeah. I also looked at my clock, and I went, oh, my God. Danny's doing a post-game show like 40 minutes from right now.
Yeah, because I got to do the TV post-game show first, the network post-game show, then the after.
The post-post.
Yes.
The post-post.
He's the Buck and Will Ortner post-game show for the Portland Trailblazers.
Absolutely.
On television.
It is going to be
81 more
long year for our Blazer content creators, man.
Good start, man. It's a good start,
I text
guys.
Richmond.
Yes.
Good luck talking about that five times a week. He's got to do a pod every day.
The hardest.
What do you talk about?
I know that it's one thing, like losing, whatever. Like you're supposed to lose this year. Losing by 30 on opening night is never a great look. Fans are all excited. It's opening day.
Yeah, I think it was 35.
Let's be fair on the final score. But at least if there were like a couple of things throughout the game that you could be like, hey, Scoot had a really nice night, but you lost. But hey, that's still, look at that. He had a good night. Or hey, Donovan Klingon played more than 13 minutes. You could point to that and be like, hey, at least our top 10 pick, you know, look at that. In 25 minutes, he was awesome last night. Still lost. We're supposed to lose. But look at these young pieces and how great that they played.
I would like to thank Jason Swigard. He did something that I didn't expect him to do. He didn't clip anything from the show yesterday that would have been very hilarious to put in an open.
Yeah, we have listeners that were demanding that to be in the open today.
No. I knew he'd forget. I knew he'd forget.
No, there was no need to. No, it was bad enough. We
didn't need to revisit that.
You put a Kevin Calabro play-by-play cut of him announcing us being down 30.
That's another bucket. The Blazers trail by 30 here early in the fourth quarter in Portland.
If you're going to do it, keep it in-house. If you're just going to bring it up, keep it in-house.
Just... Let the facts be enough. Be the weight.
Be the weight.
Be the weight. We have no coffee swag today. We have to remember
that. Absolutely no coffee, swag.
We have no coffee swag this morning.
Stayed up too late. No coffee swag.
Getting ready to go.
I was in bed watching the fourth quarter, dozing off. Put me right to sleep, baby.
What did you say? Let it be the weight?
Let the facts be the weight.
Let the facts.
Yes or no? Let the facts beat the weight.
Be
the weight. Yeah, thank you.
Is that an actual saying? Can we get away with that?
I've never heard that in my life.
Is that proper English language? I do not know. Should we use that as a poll question? First one right out of the gate today. Let the facts be the weight. Is that proper English?
We'll get to the Blazer stuff of that and like very quickly, and we'll move on with the rest of our day.
Just rip that Band-Aid off.
The Timbers were in a playoff game.
Yeah, that was worse.
We had people tweeting us, yikes. Not going to talk Timbers.
Maybe we shouldn't have yesterday.
How about you tweet us, yikes, I wasted my time watching that.
I mean, yes. How does that happen?
You don't score
sure
and they score five times.
I'm sure my buddies who had to shell out, I'm trying to think what their playoff tickets were.
That had to have been an expensive ticket.
It was like $1.50, $1.75 or something. He's got four tickets and went.
That hurts.
He actually asked if I wanted to go, and I was like, no, I just came back. We got... And I need to hunker down.
I can't drink coffee tomorrow, so no, I'm not going to stay up late at Providence tonight.
Yeah, I can't drink beer and coffee. It's just, no. And, boy, I'm glad I didn't go.
That was embarrassing. I mean, that's embarrassing.
That's awful.
That was horrible. 3-0 early in a playoff game and then finishing 5-0.
Well, but to be fair, Swag was like, how does it happen? And I said, they're the 9 seed. Can we stop acting like they had some 1 seed pressure on them?
Yeah, I don't know how that works in soccer. I feel like we always end up going on runs in the playoffs every year, no matter how good or bad we are. That's like one thing that we can always count on. Timbers fans freak out at some point in the regular season. Then you look up.
It's usually
like,
early.
Hey, look at that. They're in the second round of the playoffs again. And they're a win away from a conference final. And like, oh, okay, that's usually how it goes every year. 5-0 in a playoff game. How many times have they lost 5-0 in the history of the franchise?
Well, I asked him this. I think this is this the worst playoff loss in franchise history?
I'm pretty sure it's the worst playoff.
I mean, 5-0 is a pretty rare MLS score, is it not? Like, this isn't like hockey where randomly you'll get a bad goalie and all of a sudden it's 7-0, and those happen from time to time. I feel like 5-0 is pretty rare in the MLS, but I'm also just pulling that out of my ass, so
poll,
I don't know.
Poll question is up. Do you... let the facts be the weight when watching the Trailblazers. Yes, no. What does this mean?
Okay, I like that.
Is your options at Dirt and Sprague? I would also say, you know, to be fair, they got down 3-0 pretty quick. I think it was 3-0 with like 33 minutes into the match.
Right out of the gate.
I don't know if you can come in on a Monday and dust off a 56-7 football result and say, well, football is scored by 7s and 3s, and it's just football. And then be like, how does 5-0 happen?
Easy. Soccer, it's a lot harder to score goals, okay?
To be fair, that's true.
A lot harder.
And they score by one.
And you didn't even get one. Give me one. At least Nebraska scored one in that game. Come on. They got one touchdown.
That would be the equivalent of 35-0.
I mean, yeah.
They got Oregon Purdue'd.
Yeah, Oregon Purdue'd.
We Purdue'd them on Friday.
We did. Yeah. Oregon State'd. Can we not talk about that today, please?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that. I don't have it on mine.
You don't want to do that one today? I got it in there. It's in there.
I also have some unfortunate news I may or may not share today.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
In terms of the rivalry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're done with it?
Well, I mean, I may have been done with it a long time ago.
Sure, I don't blame you there.
There may be developing things in my life that make me conflicted on that rivalry.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Do we have a kid that wants to go to Oregon?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm surrounded by all kinds of Duck fans.
Yeah, you got a lot of Ducks in your life.
There's a lot of little kids, a lot of bandwagon kids. Oh, go Ducks! Go Ducks!
there are little
O's in my face.
We welcome them on the bandwagon. Come on board.
No, it might be even more than that.
Uh-oh, that's not good. Are you going to Oregon?
I don't know.
Are you going to go get a degree from Oregon and become a Duck fan?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
The NWO heel turn would be hilarious.
The Hogan leg drop on Macho Man.
If you're coming out here in all black, where's the yellow? Where's the red, man? I don't know you anymore.
No, I
don't do it, Hulkamania.
I don't know how much there is to talk about that because I saw Beaver fan actually excited about yesterday, and I went, "No, you're not real. You're not real. None of this is real.
It's not real."
It's a brutal day yesterday. It's not a good day for
It's been a rough week for a lot of sports fans. Unless you're a Duck fan, it's been a really rough couple of weeks for you.
I saw a funny meme, and it was Oregon. It was a cartoon meme, and it was it looked like a soldier, and he had the big Oregon O photoshopped on him, and his arms are out, and to his back, he's just getting pelted by all kinds of things, and it's Blazers, Timbers, Beavers, and then sleeping tight in the bed with nothing to worry about as a Duck fan.
We got Illinois coming to town, man. Top 20 team, number one, 7-0, 12:30 CBS. We get the CBS theme song this weekend.
Get the SEC theme music.
Da, 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 da. That's your intro to Oregon Duck football this weekend, and it's going to be an absolute trip when it happens.
By the way, there's no more evidence of sleepy swag than right now. What does this mean, blowing away the poll question results?
Yeah, that's not really a thing. I don't think that's a saying.
The facts be the weight.
We've all been there. You start a sentence, you're not quite sure how this is going to finish, and we don't like the ending of that one.
It just keeps going up, too, every time I look down. What does this mean?
That needs to be a drop. It keeps going up every time I look down. It was a pretty solid drop there.
So it's just, last night was tough. Yesterday was not an easy day to be a sports fan, but I will say, on the issue, and we can get to this at 6:15 when we talk Blazers for, 6 minutes, because I don't know if we need to talk much more than that. I felt very old, but like a reverse old. You know how like old people, and you do this a lot, I think you do this too much to be honest with you, but you put the olds in a category of like, streaming?
Yeah.
You know, like you always make your dad seem kind of like a very lost old guy.
I actually wanted to text him because he still has Comcast, and so he would have been able to watch the game last night, and I want to know if he either A, wanted to watch it, or B, if he did, could he find the channel?
Well, I feel bad for your dad because you're always throwing him under this bus of like, you think my dad can find the Peacock Network?
He can't. There's no chance he can. He's a one-finger texter, man. If you're a one-finger texter, you can't find Peacock.
With his glasses down on his nose.
You type him one letter at a time.
But I felt the reverse of this. The antennas, the cable boxes, this is right in my wheelhouse. But I've been so far removed from that in my life. I took about 40 minutes to figure out how to do my antenna yesterday.
Took me a long time.
I hooked it up. Had no problems there. And then, like, I thought my TV was going to auto-read it and then, like, load the channels.
That's what I thought, too.
It didn't.
No.
It just kept being snowflakes. And then I clicked, like, the source. And then I clicked, like, a settings button. And then I loaded. But then nothing loaded after it loaded.
No.
So I'm FaceTiming my brother-in-law because he's got this antenna set up. And I'm like,
he's a tech-savvy bro.
Hey, man. How did you do yours? And so we're running through this. Neither of us can figure this out.
Nope.
And then we figured it out. It wasn't cable. You had to load on air.
Yeah.
Air. So I finally figured it out.
Took me about 2 hours yesterday.
Oh.
Took me about 2 hours. And then I watched the first half of the game and thought, that wasn't worth it.
No, you got 81 more. I mean, so it might be worth it.
I mean, you know, not really, because on January 1st, it's on YouTube TV. So I only need it until the end of December. I only need another 2.5 months. I went through all that trouble to watch that. I'm out.
What was better, the episode of CSI Miami before it started or, you know, any part of that game?
Definitely CSI Miami.
I think it was CSI Miami.
The suspense was phenomenal.
I was kind of hoping it would come back at halftime.
Michael tweeted us, said, I went to bed when the Blazers were up 10-3. I was excited to check the score when I got up this morning. Hey, we look good this year. All right, good night.
Michael going to bed early, 10-3.
Dude, props it. Round of applause for Michael.
That's first quarter. Right there.
Dude, jealous, man. Absolutely jealous of that bad
time. To go to sleep down 10-3 and wake up to a 35-point loss, that's a hell of a swing, man.
Would have been even funnier if you waited till the end of the first. What was it, 21 and 21 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, the 12-3, and 5 minutes in, was their biggest lead at 9.
Somehow and proceeded to give up 110 points over the next three quarters.
And then they got outscored by 35 in the final three quarters.
I've made a vow, and I've done this before and then stopped. I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep doing poll questions as they relate to the live show to make people on Twitter go, what the hell is this? Poll question.
This makes no sense.
What is this?
Yeah, you got to listen to the show to figure it out.
You got to be tuned into the show to understand some of our poll questions. Let the facts be the weight is definitely one of them.
It's a motto of my life. Let the facts be the weight. I'm going to do that with all my takes today. The facts will be the weight.
Well, we got a good show today. We will get through the Blazer stuff together, and then we'll just get right past it. George Reister, former Oregon Duck tight end, is going to join the program.
Yes, he is.
He is obviously in the media. He's got a really popular show. He's going to join us at 7:30 today. We got our dirty poll to get to. We got our big pee-pee picks to make. It is a Thursday. So let's get it going. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. Let's start the show with a little Blazer talk next on The Fan. Well, I want to shout them out because Dirt likes to crap all over them. The way Swag hates Canadians, Dirt loves to talk about how slightly
loves me when I come.
Older people.
We do have somebody, by the way, supporting Swag saying, so I've never heard that before, but I like it. I'm on your side, Swag. Let the weights be the facts.
His wife's texting in.
Let the facts be the weight.
Yeah. Get it right. His wife is texting in early.
Yeah, the olds are throwing it in our face.
Well, it should be your face. I've always defended the olds.
I think you're kind of anti-old out though over there. I think you're anti-old.
I'm probably the biggest defender of the olds on this show.
Yeah, shout out to John. Said I'm 63 years old. So I hook up my air antenna in like 10 minutes. Got 108 channels. I'm a man. I'm 63.
Hell yeah, John.
Power to the olds.
In your face, Dirt.
That is in my face. It took me way longer than that to figure it out. And then I thought, why? This was stupid. Why did I go through all this trouble to watch this crap?
How much did you end up paying for it?
30 bucks, I think.
Yeah, but if you ever need TV and you're poor, it's free.
It is free.
That was the kind of cool thing I thought about.
Whenever I ever get fired and I can't afford YouTube TV anymore, at least I got an antenna, man.
What's Dirt doing? He's watching a lot of Law & Order SVU is what he's doing.
You're damn right I am. Somebody tweeted and said, I live in Deschutes County, which is one of the two counties in Oregon that doesn't get the Blazers for free.
Doesn't get this?
I guess not. He said, I paid 120 bucks for Blazer Vision and then found myself going, wait. I paid $120 to watch 21 wins all season. Yes, you did. Come on down. Here's your award. 21 wins.
Might as well just get
through
it.
What's the price point for win for $120 of Blazer Vision? Let's play that fun game today.
Well, if this is how they're going to look, I would say like...
That's $6 a win.
$6 a win?
$6 a win, okay. Maybe.
Hey, you know, that's a large coffee per win.
A large coffee?
It's a venti.
That's a grande. It ain't no venti.
No venti. We're going grande.
Hell yeah, dude.
The real large, but there's an actual large. It's bigger than that.
It was nice to see Terry Stotts yesterday.
I
want to say that to start. It was nice to see Tear Bear.
The guy that we should have never fired? You know, we don't need to revisit that, but...
He gave us a little blow, a kiss, a little like, hey, thank you. He gave us a little wave. Yeah. They made a nice tribute video for him, as they should.
That was very cool.
He just looked happy. He's like, he wanted to do this last year with the Bucks, but Adrian Griffin was an a-hole. He gets to coach with Steve Kerr. And I just finished a book, which was really good, on coaching, sports psychology, and there's a really good blurb on Steve Kerr as a coach and how he approached being a coach before he started. And I just thought, he seems like a fun guy to coach with.
Yeah.
And then I saw Terry Stotts smiling, you know, directing traffic, talking offensive philosophies, patting Draymond on the ball. Oh, it's okay, Draymond.
You're all right, Draymond. You're all right, dude.
And I just thought, Terry Stotts looks happy. No. Chauncey Billups, not so much.
You know why Terry Stotts is happy? Because he didn't have to deal with this anymore.
Oh. Trifurcate. I think it's really sexy.
Doesn't have to deal with that guy anymore.
He gets to deal with Mike Dunleavy Jr. His boss.
Not a lot of pressure down there. He's got the greatest shooter of all time on his team. Let's run some offensive sets. Have some fun in the Bay Area.
Boy, Steve Kerr, Terry Stotts, Mike Dunleavy Jr. The trifecta of Portland kicking our ass last night.
That was. It was a triple whammy.
It was
former
a triple whammy.
Portland natives or Blazers who just came back to absolutely hammer us last night. I miss Terry Stotts, man. He was a good dude.
He just
always enjoyed
like
him as
such
a coach.
A good guy.
He really embraced Portland. The video or the pictures of him being at a Timbers game, pounding an IPA, smiling, sitting down near the field.
He'd go to Winterhawks games.
He'd go to a random Winterhawks game from time to time. He'd go over to Central Oregon all the time on vacation. I think we had him on the show one time, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm in Bend right now." Like, he embraced us, and we always appreciate people that embrace us. Seemed like a good dude, and we miss him dearly.
One of his more iconic photos: him at a Timbers game, sipping a beer, just looking ahead, like, "Ooh,
what's happening here?" Remember when he wore the Jack Ramsey throwback? They did that in the tribute video last night where he had the throwback, the plaid, the unbuttoned shirt. Yeah, Terry Stotts, man.
He embraced it. He embraced it.
He did.
That was a stepping stone coach by everybody's estimation, and he became a very good coach here.
Yes, he did.
So I was happy to see him. Our coach, however,
did not enjoy his evening.
Which one of these is the effort cut, Swag?
The first one? Yeah, the one that says the second unit.
Okay, well, Chauncey Billups is the head coach, and he talked about effort. He also talked about how, hey, Chaunce, what's a positive you could take away? Who's a player you thought played well?
I thought their second unit came in and played so fast, and they were just kind of all over the place. We were spinning like a top, you know, trying to run back to a matchup as opposed to just run back to a man. And they had a huge quarter, you know, on us, opened the game up, and had another huge quarter in the third quarter. So we just couldn't keep up. It was very disappointing. I didn't think anybody, I didn't think one guy on our team played well in the game.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say this outright, and I don't mean this
not
as
even
a
one.
Shot.
We don't even get one guy? One guy?
Look, this they can play a little better than they did.
Yes.
Certainly.
It's one game.
However, I don't want to hear any positive from any one human in this city or market about anything from that game when the head coach is literally telling you, I didn't think anybody played well. So don't give me like shot chart, spots.
No.
Transition.
No.
Nothing. There's nothing. There's not a single positive. If the coach is telling you that, then I don't want to hear anybody, not the coach, tell me that there was some positive from this game.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I was thrilled with the way Jabari Walker played in his 7 minutes.
I mean, go look at the starting lineup. They're all minus 16, minus 19, minus 22.
And then Scoot leading the way with a minus 30.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was the biggest storyline out of the game. And it was, you know, I joke.
Really? Because Ant had 5 turnovers and shot 5 of 12 from the field.
What are we doing there? He shouldn't be on the team anymore. I don't understand what we're doing here. He's a good player. He's not a face of a franchise guy. He's not an all-star. He's not a first-team All-NBA guy. He's not the kind of guy you can build a team around.
They have a feel of
what
a
are
team
we doing
that knows what this is, and they just like are going to give you that effort.
You have a coach who knows what this is, and this is the way his season's going to go. And at some point, you're just going to have to decide to move on. He's even saying leading into the year that we're going to push for a playoff spot. Like, no, you're not. This is a tanking team.
He didn't say that this year, did he?
I don't know.
Did he say that at the end of last year?
Your GM has already come out and said this is a transition year. We're still trying to find our identity. Like, we all know what this is. Stop lying to me. That's why, like, look, losing by 30, whatever, it's embarrassing giving up 41, 37, and 40 in the second, third, and fourth quarters. We talked about this going into the season. There's going to be certain things that you can watch and look for to try and be optimistic about to this point of Chauncey after the game last night. The two most important things that three that I was most curious about. Denny Avdija had a great year last year. How does he fit in? How does he look? It was fine in the first quarter. There wasn't a lot after that.
He got to the free throw line, 0-for-3 from 3.
Didn't make anything from downtown, and that was the last year, remember, was the outlier for him shooting the 3 ball, where he was, 39%?
37.
I went to 37, but it was the one year in his career where it was like, hey, look at that. He's a respectable 3-point shooter. And we asked all offseason, is that an outlier, or is that who he's going to be going forward? So definitely something to keep an eye on. That didn't jump out at me. Donovan Clingan is maybe the most exciting Blazer for me to watch this year. He had a nice block early. He seemed like he's smart. He knows what he's doing on the defensive end. He had an early bucket. He played 13 minutes last night. 13 minutes in his first game in the NBA. And Scoot Henderson going into year 3, you're hoping to see flashes and growth. And he came in with bad turnovers. Looked like the game was way too fast for him.
He was our leading scorer.
And he was. And oh, by the way, he was 0-5 from 3 and he still can't make a shot. Yeah. So it just, I mean, you were looking for, I think that's the whole thing about a tanking season. Nobody is surprised that they lost. This team's going to lose 60 games this year, man.
Like, hey.
Maybe 62.
0-1 on the year, 1-0 in the tank.
That's right.
And
right.
1-0.
Those are the results that we want. So I'm not going to kill you for doing what you're supposed to be doing, but along the way of losing, you want silver linings that you can say, hey, at least that looked good, or at least I could see that being a long-term positive. And that was the hard part about last night. It's one game. There's 81 left.
Yeah.
That was the tough part about last night, was there was nothing that you can come in and be like, hey, you lost by 30, but at least Scoot was 4 or 5 from three. Or, hey, you lost by 30. At least Klingon had 7 boards and 9 blocks or something along those lines. You didn't have it last night.
Felt like they were playing fast forward. They kept wanting to push tempo and then, like, didn't know what to do after they did it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, Avdija, how many times did Avdija drive the lane quick and then, like, kind of jump and either shoot or look to pass and not know what to do with it? They have 4 turnovers in this game.
Yeah, guys just standing around, not quite sure where to be to help them out.
I kept seeing, like, oh, it's pace, it's pace, it's pace. And then, like, just sloppy turnover after sloppy turnover. And I'm like, this is
Well, Golden
awful.
State played with more pace. But if you watch what Golden State did, there was weak side actions. There were screens being set, backdoor cuts.
Can we just, like, I know that the Blazers
just
good,
spread the floor and somebody
run,
would take
roll,
up driving and hoping when the defense collapsed, somebody was open for a three.
This is my only thing, and we can move on, because, again, they're 35-point home loss. It's not worth enough.
Here come the Pelicans Friday and Sunday.
I'm debating if I go to a game this year now. Like, I wanted to go Friday. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go anymore. Like, I saw people tweeting from the game, and it didn't seem like a fun atmosphere.
Jody looked thrilled when they showed her.
Dude, I love me. Love me, the broadcast team, okay? So I don't mean this as a knock. It was about 9 minutes to go in that fourth quarter, and I felt like Calabro kept teasing the Rip City wrap-up post-game show as if he was to say, can we just go to them now?
Exactly. Can they take over now?
Like, him and Lamar were joking with 7 minutes to go because, hey, you're down 30. What do you talk
what
about
do
right
you
now?
Talk about?
This is the only, the danger of this, and this is the last point I'll make. They are tanking, but your culture and your development, and if none of that is good, it doesn't just get shifted because you drafted Ace Bailey. That's always kind of been my hang up with this. And one guy can't play because he's physically hurt, and the other guy certainly doesn't look the part right now. Those are the two franchise staples before Donovan gets his career really going. Those are the two things you have to point at right now. And it ain't good. So
no, and that's what you're hoping for. By the way, if I accidentally said Scoot was not going into year two, I know that Scoot's going into year two. So people are texting in about that.
That's a slight.
It felt very. Everything else around it too was just a whole nother story in and of itself. Like, the number of people that I saw tweeting about the game was supposed to be on Fubo was not on Fubo. They told
Orem
everybody
had that. Hankins told Orem before the game, Fubo and DirecTV Stream would have it that day, yesterday. And then people on Fubo were like, yo,
I don't have
the game's not on.
Not on it. DirecTV, it was mass confusion on where to find the channel, and the guide wasn't updated, and people couldn't figure it out. You had some people, Swag had the HD channel on Comcast. We had some people tweeting us saying that their Comcast package didn't have the HD channel, so they had to watch the game in standard definition. You had people who bought antennas to watch the team because, hey, 2.2, this is going to be great, then ended up being in pockets where that channel was not available via antenna.
Yeah, I heard from people in Newburgh, they were like, it's not coming in.
Not coming in. Don't get the channel. Like, it just, everything about it felt very Blazer-y. And I heard Isaac and Tuke talk about this yesterday, and I think it's valid. I've lived in this city my entire life, outside of my 4 years in college in Eugene, or 5 years.
Or six, or seven.
You know, a lot of
maybe
people
I never
go to
graduated.
College
for 7 years.
Nobody's ever checked my diploma. Maybe I never graduated. I don't know if I've ever, or if there's ever been in a home opener or an opening night that has just had less buzz, less interest, less enthusiasm. He's even some down years. You're like, hey, at least it's opening day, first night of the game. All right, here we go, first game. Half the people couldn't even find the game. Half the people couldn't watch the game. The people that went ended up leaving early because they were down 30. The game was a blowout. It just,
you can at least build buzz going to the game if you play well. And now it's like, hey, we have a game Friday. And it's like, well, Zion might not play because he randomly didn't play in their opener. Who cares?
Yeah, not going to pay for a ticket for that game.
It's a delicate balance they're playing, man. And this has always been the negative side to doing all of this. As you mentioned yesterday, it's year 4 of this. And if you don't get Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or whoever the next prospect is on the list, it gets dicey. It gets tough.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's move on. We have the big PP picks at 8:15. George Reister at 7:30. So we got a lot of football to get into. And right, coming up next, the Dirty Poll. The top 12 in college football, according to Andy Dirt Johnson. We move on from the Blazers, who got bludgeoned. We'll keep an eye on them going forward. What's that attendance going to look like in 4 games?
I mean, look, I spent a lot of time hooking up my antenna, so damn it, I'm going to watch some games.
Oh, I'm going to watch.
And I hope to be encouraged by storylines, and there wasn't a lot of that last night.
We may not have every game where we react to it, but I will watch. I will be informed. I will know what's going on.
Yes, we will.
Let's get to the dirty poll, ladies and gentlemen.
Dirty poll time.
12.
You sent a picture of a nice big dirty poll yesterday in the group chat.
Was showing you what my antenna looked like.
It's large and in charge.
Looked like a pocket rocket, didn't it? Ouch. Very long.
Very long. Long and skinny.
Long and skinny.
Not a lot of girth.
All right, let's find out how the top 12 in college football has developed from 1 week, according to one. Andy Dirt Johnson.
So I do want to clarify something, because people keep tweeting asking what is the point of the, not like the point of the segment, but like what 12 are you giving us right now? And so I do want to clarify, because there is some confusion. I'm doing it differently this year than I've done it in years past. In years past, it used to just be, who are my top 10 teams right now? Is it top 10 teams in the country?
It's your power ranking.
This is what I think the playoff will be. As of now, from what I've seen from the teams, what they've accomplished, that's what I'm going on. What I think the playoff will be, not if the playoff started today, what would the playoff be?
So this is your best guess of my best guess, based on
what I've seen from the teams, the way that they're playing, who they beat and who they've lost to, what I think the playoff will be. So just wanted to clarify that. Your top four are unchanged. Actually, no, that's not true. I got to scroll back. That's right. Texas lost this weekend. I'm an idiot. Your top four is changed. Oregon is the number one team right now. Big time win over Ohio State. We obviously know that. You got another chance for a ranked win. Boise State could be in the playoff as well. You might have two wins over playoff teams by the end of the year. Georgia up to number two after their dominant win over Texas. If you tell me you want to put Georgia one, I'm not going to get crazy at you. That was a very impressive win. Their only loss was a game in which they played one bad half of football and then outscored Alabama by 30 in the second half.
Over undefeated Penn State, huh?
Over undefeated Penn State, yes, because these are conference champs. It's my playoff here, all right? It's my playoff. This is how the bracket works. Damn it. Clemson is number three. They're still the best team in the ACC. Miami can't play a lick of defense. Clemson's the best team. They're going to win the ACC. I still don't know what the hell to do with the Big 12, because you have undefeated Iowa State that shouldn't be undefeated, undefeated BYU who shouldn't be undefeated, Kansas State who's probably the best team, but they lost by 30 to BYU. So it's kind of hard to decipher that. Iowa State remains with their last second touchdown win this past weekend over Central Florida at home. So your first round byes go to Oregon, Georgia, Clemson, and Iowa State.
Your 5-12 matchup.
My 5-12 matchup, the number five seed, I'm going to go Ohio State there. Now, they don't have a quality win necessarily on their schedule, but they have a one-point loss to a team who's currently ranked number one. Ohio State is number five. They are taking on my still automatic qualifier from the group of five, Boise State, although this will be determined on Friday. I think Boise State's going to win. That's why they're still 12. But they got to win on Friday night to get in. By the way, by Liberty, they are now out of the playoff. We don't have to deal with the fighting Jerry Falwells anymore.
Nobody took them seriously.
Nobody did. They shouldn't have after the Fiesta Bowl last year. At least they've lost, and that doesn't have to be a conversation. So Ohio State, Boise State's your 5-12. Your 6-11 is Texas at number 6, slipping down from number 1. Big weekend for them. They're playing somehow a ranked Vanderbilt team this weekend. I still don't know how they're ranked, but get a chance for a ranked win for the Longhorns. New in the dirty poll, because I think they're going to be in. You can tell me their resume is not there right now. They have a really bad loss earlier in the season, but their first win of the year is looking better and better every week. Notre Dame, say hello to the college football playoff. One loss Notre Dame will definitely be in. Hell, I'd argue two loss Notre Dame will definitely be in, and we can all laugh and shake our head at that, but we know what's going to happen because that's the way this sport works. So Texas hosting Notre Dame, which would be a really fun playoff game, is your 6 versus 11. Your 7 versus 10 would be Penn State versus Miami. Let's just turn it back to the 80s, baby.
Wait, who's 7? Penn State?
Penn State is 7, and Miami is 10. I don't know what to do with Miami because I don't think they're one of the 12 best teams in the country. However,
really?
Look at I don't. Their offense is. Their defense is horrendous.
Yeah.
Go look at their schedule. Like, I know they keep eking out wins, so maybe somebody trips them up. They don't. I mean, it's just cakewalk after ACC is terrible this year, and they don't play Clemson in the regular season. So if they went out, whether they get blown out by Clemson in the ACC title game, they will be in.
Can I ask you? Well, actually, I'll let you finish.
Okay.
I have a question on
this. Last matchup is the 8-9 game, and that is Tennessee with a massive win over Alabama last week. Our buddy Josh Pate talked about it yesterday. If their passing game gets going, I don't think it can. I just think that's kind of who they are this year. Defense, run the football, win low-scoring games. Nico will be great. He's just not quite there yet. And they are hosting a team who I think will go on the road and get a win this weekend, who is all of a sudden back into the top 10, and that is the LSU. LSU Tigers.
Ah,
so your first,
they're going to beat A&M.
I do think they're going to beat A&M.
That'd be a big win for them.
Hence, A&M no longer in my playoff. You have Ohio State hosting Boise State, Texas hosting Notre Dame, Penn State hosting Miami, and Tennessee hosting LSU in your first round.
So Oregon would play the winner of Tennessee LSU.
Tennessee LSU.
That'd be a fun little matchup. Very quickly,
what do you got, Bob?
So I don't necessarily disagree with your Miami stuff. They are undefeated.
They are undefeated.
They are sixth currently right now in the AP poll and five in the coaches poll.
Yes, they are.
You're projecting, so I guess that's kind of the argument here, but like, what's Clemson's best win this year? Is it better than Miami's best win this year?
It's a good question. Let me see, Bob.
Because I don't disagree with your Miami defensive point.
The answer is no, it's not. I just think they've looked more impressive against their crap schedule than Miami has. They've not impressive, maybe not even the right word. They've looked like a more complete team to me. That they're not just having to win games 52-49 against bad teams like that shouldn't be able to score that many points on you. So that's my take. I just think Clemson's a more complete team. Miami,
their common opponent would be Virginia here, who they smoked by 17, and Miami had to like have a Hail Mary taken away.
Well, that was Virginia Tech. Yeah, sorry, I don't think Miami's played Virginia yet.
That's right.
They'll have a Florida State crossover. Miami plays Florida State this weekend, which, I mean, Jesus, dude, that is such a
I'm just looking at their schedule, and I'm like, they got absolutely embarrassed by Georgia. And then, like, I know what they've been doing, but App State, who cares?
You know who they kind of honestly remind me of is Oregon of 2 years ago, where that first game, you're like, oh, God, we just kind of write them off when Oregon lost 49-3. Now, Oregon, I think, had a ranked win over UCLA and a ranked win over a BYU team along the way.
The shine is off NC State, and they lost their quarterback to retirement yesterday.
He literally retired, yeah.
Stanford is dog crap.
Terrible.
Florida State's 1-7.
Terrible. Awful. But Clemson's beaten nobody.
Wake Forest is a joke.
It's a valid argument. Clemson's beaten nobody.
That's my only question on the Miami-Clemson stuff.
When I watch Miami's defense, they have to be literally perfect on offense to win.
I don't disagree.
And that's the fear of when the Virginia Tech game's a great example, where they were clunky offensively and they should have lost that game because they gave up 34 points to Virginia Tech. And they just, that to me is not a team that you can rely on. Now, they're probably going to win out or only lose one game in the regular season. The rest of their regular season schedule is Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. That's who they play the rest of the way. None of those teams should be able to beat them. One of them might, but when
might have the offense.
They could. When they get to the ACC title game, I'm gonna hammer Clemson in that game because that will be the ACC title game.
Who do you think would be favored, Clemson or Miami?
Clemson will definitely be favored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mark that one down.
All right.
As of 6:46 on 10/24.
I still have on my show sheet from a couple days ago.
What did I give?
Dirt says Indiana will lose
by 60 to Ohio State.
By 60 to Ohio State.
Yeah. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it, huh? Indiana's not in there. BYU's not in there. I'm sure that will upset some people, but I just don't see them being in the playoff at the end.
Big 12 is a roll of the dice at that point. All right, we have a lot more to get into. 6:45, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. I went to work today. Bob in the YouTube chat wants us to not just move on from the Blazers. And Bob, I love me the Blazers. You know this. I did a podcast on the Blazers for many a year. I think 14 minutes on a 35-point loss is enough.
I mean, again, it's one thing if there are positives that you can point to or take away from the game, no matter the outcome. We know what the outcomes are going to be.
But the coach is literally telling you nobody played well. So if the coach is telling me he's taking nothing from this because everybody sucked, I can only highlight so many little things.
There will be games, maybe Friday. Klingon has 10 or 5 blocks.
I would love for that.
Look at that. We'll talk about it when it happens.
I was walking my dog yesterday in my neighborhood. It's a very, how can I put this? Split political neighborhood. There's a lot of different signs.
Differing signs. You got both sides of the aisle in your neighborhood.
And somebody slapped a Trump sticker on a local street sign. And I thought, well, come on. I mean, what are we slapping political stickers on street signs for? And then I've got all these, you know, local representatives in their sign. I just kept thinking, like, do we send the losers of these signs? Like, Masterman is a sign that's very heavy in my neighborhood. If he loses, like, where do we ship those? Where do those go? Where do all these signs go? Why do we still do political signs?
Maybe they just ended up getting recycled.
So we're just throwing, like,
toss them away.
All the local dumps are just filled with names.
I'd imagine that on November, what day is election day? The 4th?
Fifth. Tuesday the 5th.
November 6th or November 7th, you're going to have a lot of signs and dumpsters.
Like, imagine you're John Masterman and you've been running a campaign and you have a dump load on November 6th and you go to the dump and your name's everywhere and you've lost.
Oh, God, this is depressing, man.
That sums it up for me.
It's a little sad driving around. I guess I'm not going to office this year.
I kept thinking, like, what a waste of stuff. We just make all these signs for our yards. What a waste. What do we do with this crap?
I mean, I think that every election cycle of all the money that we spend in political ads and TV ads, of like, why don't we just pool that all together and, like, you know, do something good for people.
Feed people.
Pay down the debt.
Offer how much
medical
are we,
care.
How much money are we spending on the presidential election this year? If you just pooled that together, said, we know everything we need to know about these. Just go vote. Everybody knows who they're going to vote for.
This
we don't need all these ads.
This crap is ridiculous.
Go vote next week, and let's take all that money and do something positive. Let's fix a couple of sidewalks. How about that?
I saw a report, and it's like, Kamala Harris campaign announces they've surpassed the billion-dollar threshold. And I thought, that's not something to brag about. It's actually sad that
$1 billion.
Just raising $1 billion for you to maybe lose an election. What do you do with that money, by the way?
Is her campaign interested in buying the Chicago White Sox and moving them to Portland? Because then you'll have my vote. Is that a thing? Can we do that?
That's what you want to do with the money?
Yes. Yeah, take that money. Go buy the White Sox. Move them here.
Never mind all the potholes on Foster. My God, my car's going to die one day.
14th over here, kid.
God, dude.
Use a little bit of pavement. A little smoothing
out. You can't
out.
Drive down Foster without your tire just going up and down and up
you
and
gotta
down.
You got to go one lane in the one tire in the lane, one tire out the lane. You got to have like the middle and then the outside. You got to go that way.
Rut.
You cannot go in the middle of that lane.
We will get to World Series stuff. I want to tease that now. I am actually getting kind of jacked for the World Series. It's brands. It's brand awareness. I don't have a... I think I'm going to be happy if Mike Lynch is happy, but also, like, yes. I'm kind of pulling for Ohtani. I love Ohtani.
Is he going to get the Kevin Durant treatment, by the way? We're going to do that to him? Because Kevin Durant got killed for going and joining a team and winning a championship immediately.
No, it doesn't apply in baseball. It's different. It
doesn't count. Okay. No, $1 billion payroll. They've been in the playoffs every year.
Basketball.
Multiple World Series. No. He joins the best team.
He went to a team hurting. They were hurting.
Hurting, yeah. They're struggling. He lifted the Dodgers out of the ashes, man. They've been nothing for the last 10 years.
Did you see at all any of the unveiling of the Intuit Dome in LA?
I did. That was more captivating last night than the Blazer game.
That game was actually maybe the most entertaining
game. Went to overtime.
Game.
It was worth watching. Yeah. I didn't stay up for the end of it, but I was curious what it was going to look like. Ballmer running down the stands and his microphone welcoming everybody to the arena.
So that energized area, if you missed it, the Clippers unveiled their new arena in Inglewood, and Ballmer sat in the section they call the wall.
No, you stand.
But you get what I'm saying is, like, he went to the section that's called the wall. And if you miss this, you got to check this out. The wall is basically, we are going to have the college atmosphere in the wall.
Yeah.
And so, like, the entire game, it's like seeing a Timbers game or any, you know, crazy college atmosphere. It's energized the entire game.
Yeah, and they won't let an opposing fan sit in there. You cannot buy a ticket in that section if you're an opposing fan.
And I don't know what their pricing, what the dynamics of ticket pricing is for them, but I just kept thinking, this guy is loaded. He's going to have more money to know what to deal with his entire life. He built this building for $2 billion. I would be offering those seats to all the local institutes. Hey, kids. Go.
Yeah.
Scream for 2 hours.
$5 tickets. $5. Cheap to get in.
But you raffle them to local fans. You want the locals.
Well, they
locals
somehow
in
are
there.
Vetting for diehard Clipper fans. I don't
Which
know
is great.
What that process is.
It just looked awesome. They were swaying back and forth, and the energy looked great. He's in there. He's going to have an aneurysm. I'm afraid he's going to drop down one day because he's not young.
Blood pressure's a little high.
But he's just I just was jealous yesterday. That dome looked great. The atmosphere was rocking, and he's all in. Did he make one of the dumbest trades ever?
Possibly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's committed to a guy who just physically can't play anymore. But God. He seems awesome.
There's something about him, though, that, like, there's no doubt that the trade is aged horrifically, and it has backfired, and Kawhi Leonard is still again hurt, and Paul George left, and now they're trying to do this with James Harden. Like, yeah, this is, we all know the Clippers aren't going to win anything this year. There's an aspect, though, with him as the owner that they're going to find a way through this. Like, he's got enough money.
He'll figure it out.
He's got enough balls. Like, he's going to figure this thing out. He just built a $2 billion stadium.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest things to hit the NBA in a long time. That's one of the markets that when you watch a home Clipper game, you almost fall asleep. And multiple players, even Paul George, when he left, said that. He was like, dude, nobody cares. We're the second fiddle. It's a Laker town. You had to do something. I would have argued get him out of L.A. because nobody will ever care about him as much as the Lakers.
Go to Seattle.
You had to do something that was going to cut through and make you different and make you unique. And it took him $2 billion of his own money to do it. But damn it, that is one of the coolest things that I've seen in a long time. That thing is massive. It's super steep. It makes me feel like I'm watching a basketball game in the Sphere where the way the stands go all the way up. It's just like, this is why the players after the game said this is one of the craziest things they've ever seen. They were missing free throws. Good for them. The Clippers are a laughingstock organization. Good for them for doing something cool.
A loaded second hour of the radio program. George Reister, former Oregon Duck tight end, will join us at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan and the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.